We may experience some turbulence. Please keep your seatbelts fastened and make sure all trays are in an upright position.
Great. Turbulence. My favorite.
No, you just relax and stop clenching your fists.
I can't unclench when there's turbulence. You know, I'm an atheist. I don't like this.
Of course, that was Woody Allen and Judy David from the movie To Rome with Love. For some people, turbulence in an airplane can just be a little bump in the road, but for others, it can open up a spiraling cascade of thoughts and worst-case scenarios. When you do experience that unshakable feeling of dread or worry, you might describe it as butterflies in the stomach or maybe a pain in your gut. I personally get a tingling sensation in my fingers. But researchers reporting in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences have pinpointed it to a pea-sized region of the brain called the habenula. Rebecca Lawson is lead author on that paper and a neuroscience postgraduate researcher at University College London in the United Kingdom. Rebecca Lawson, welcome to Science Friday.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Maybe you can describe exactly what the habenula is and where it resides in our brains.
Sure. So the habenula is a very small nucleus in the brain. It's about 3 millimeters cubed in size, which is, like you said, sort of smaller than a garden pea or a corn kernel. It's very old, so evolutionarily speaking, it's really well preserved. It's present in all vertebrates, so animals with backbones, from fish through to humans. And it's buried deep down in the middle of the brain, so right in the middle.
It's been studied quite a bit in animals, but less frequently in people. So what do we know about its role in the brain?
So you're right. It's been mostly studied in animals, and that's because of its small size. So really, 3 millimeters is sort of at the limits of what we can detect with non-invasive human neuroimaging. So what we know from animals is that the habenula responds to negative events when they happen, and it also responds to the expectation of negative events. And we were able to demonstrate in humans for the first time that the habenula increases in activation when you're expecting something bad, and that this activity scales with your expectation about the likelihood of the bad outcome. In this case, we used painful electric shocks.
I'm John Dankosky. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. You talk about the expectation of negative impacts. So how is this different from an accumulation of bad things actually happening in your life? Is this also the repository for the memories of terrible things having happened to you?
So in the study, we were only looking over relatively short timescales, and the habenula was sort of tracking previous negative experience in order to predict bad things that would happen in the future, in this case, the electric shocks. But in terms of whether the habenula is keeping track of negative experiences over the whole lifetime is not something that we were actually looking at or that we can really say anything about at the moment.
So give us a little bit more detail about how exactly you tested this.
Sure. So we had participants lying in the fMRI scanner, and they saw random sequence of images, so just abstract pictures. And each image was associated with a different probability of either winning money, losing money, or receiving an electric shock on their hand. And every now and again, the volunteers had to make a button press response to some of the images to indicate that they were paying attention. But they were explicitly told that these responses made no difference to the outcomes that they would actually receive. And the other really cool finding that we got was that, you know, individual differences in habenula activity correlated or predicted with how much each individual would withdraw or slow down their responses when they had to make the button press responses on those cues. So it really provides an important link between the habenula function and motivated behavior.
Motivated behavior. So what have we learned about how it can affect your motivation level or something like depression?
So we're actually looking at people who are currently are depressed at the moment. So this is the thing that we're researching right now. And the hypothesis that we're testing is that if the habenula is overactive in people with depression, this might be dampening down the effects of dopamine, which is a brain chemical that's linked to motivation, drive, and pleasure. And there are, you know, really elegant animal studies that other people conducted that showed when the habenula is active, then dopamine is dampened down or inhibited. So that's our working hypothesis, and we're sort of testing that right now.
Is the activation level of a habenula determined by your genetics, or can this actually change over time?
These are super interesting questions, but, you know, with lack of studies in humans, this isn't really something that we know about at the moment. I mean, certainly it's tempting to hypothesize that sort of individual differences in habenula function might sort of underlie general pessimistic tendencies, but, you know, we didn't actually link the habenula to negative thinking in this study.
So what more do you want to know? What is next for you in studying this little tiny pea in the brain?
Like I said, we're going to look at depression. And in particular, you know, there's a couple of hypotheses that can be tested. So, you know, we work with the idea that maybe habenula activity is greater in people with depression, but is it just greater in general? So, like, is the baseline activity greater than people who are not suffering from depression? Or is the activity just different in people with depression in these kind of aversive learning contexts? So there's actually, you know, quite a lot to resolve, and these are the questions that we're investigating right now.
Well, good luck in your investigations. Rebecca Lawson is a neuroscience postgraduate researcher at University College London. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.